We shall turn now to the portion read from the Gospel according to John, chapter 21. And we may read again from the verse 17. John chapter 21, verse 17. He saith, that is Jesus, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And for a little as we're enabled, we would endeavor to concentrate upon this very important question that the Savior addresses to Simon Peter. We were hearing much about Peter last evening, most appropriate at a time like this. And now, after we've considered the fall of Peter, we have him here in this chapter being recommissioned three times. In spite of his three denials, he's recommissioned three times to the work that it appeared he wasn't at all fit for. Three times the Savior addresses him in verse 15, he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And then again in verse 16, feed or shepherd my sheep. And again here in verse 17, Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Recommissioning Peter, who would have no doubt, and others as well, grave doubts about Peter's state, his reliability. Would they ever be able to really put confidence in him again? But Jesus, before he recommissions Peter, he asks him these very searching questions. Lovest thou me? Now, as I said on Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting, when God was addressing Elijah and he asked him, what doest thou here, Elijah? God was concerned about the present with Elijah. Not what he'd done in the past, not what he was involved in the past. Where are you right now, Elijah? What are you doing right here, now at this present? And note the question that the Savior puts to Simon Peter. Not did you love me, Peter. Not in the past. You remember, Peter, when you were saying this. You remember, Peter, when you were objecting to that. You remember, Peter, when you were making bold promises. Did you really love me then? Are you sure and certain you did love me? That's not the kind of question. It's a very appropriate, but a very contemporary question. Right now, Peter, lovest thou me? Whatever your past, whatever you may think about the past, let's now focus on the present. Lovest thou me now, Peter? And surely, that's the kind of a question that must be surely addressed to every one of us this evening. Under the influence of the Word of God, how do we stand right now on this Friday evening of this communion? Isn't it quite in order that the Savior would come say to every one of us, lovest thou me? Oh, if maybe the Savior were to come and ask us about some time in the past when we were full of zeal for the Lord and our hearts were warm, and in contrast, maybe we come here tonight thinking I'm struggling, I'm burdened, I'm being sorely tried, I've been tempted terribly. Lovest thou me now? How would we answer? What kind of an answer would we give to the Savior? Peter found it an extremely difficult question to answer. And if we follow Peter, maybe we will be able, at least some of us, to actually identify with him. And maybe we will be able to say, well, yes, I can identify with Peter there. Yes, I know something of that experience myself. And we be able to follow Peter along his spiritual pathway until this very moment when he's able to answer, Lord, thou knowest all things, past, present, and future. Thou knowest my past. I don't even want to talk about it. And the Savior doesn't talk about it. He doesn't drag it up to shame and humiliate Peter. He just simply asks the question, Peter, how is it between you and I now? How is it, Peter, now? Do you love me now? Do you love me now, Peter? And that's what the Savior's concerned about tonight. Not what we might think we were at the last communion, or even last week. How is it with us and the Savior right now, tonight? And in order to address this question and consider it with application to ourselves, very simply, we shall follow the one to whom the question is asked. Very simply. Lovest thou me? He didn't ask Peter, do you know any around here who really love me? A few weeks ago, when I was surrounded by men falsely accusing me, when Pilate ordered me into the hands of the Sanhedrin, and when they took me away after abusing me to crucify me, Peter, do you think there were many around that had any love for me? He doesn't ask questions like that. It becomes really personal, focused in, lovest thou. And that's what we must do this evening. Forget about those sitting around us. What is my relationship tonight with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Lovest thou me? And then we may consider his response. Peter's response. It was a very wise response. It was very genuine. And it satisfied the Savior. You see, he draws out this response out of a reluctant Peter. He asked the question three times. And in the first two occasions, Peter's very reluctant to say that he loves the Savior. In the original, the answers are different. Peter, in verse 15, saith, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am fond of thee. I am fond of thee. I wouldn't go so far as to, with confidence, say I love thee, but I do definitely have a place in my affections for thee. And again, the second time, lovest thou me? Peter is being sore pressed. Still he says, well, I am fond of thee. The Savior says, Peter, come now, Peter. There must be more there than that. Peter, answer honestly. Peter, tell the truth. Open up your heart. Right now, whatever the past, Peter, you surely must be able to say, you're more than fond of me. I want to hear it, Peter. Lovest thou me? And what does Peter say? Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest all things, and thou knowest this. I love thee now, and probably I love thee more than I ever did before. Now then, who is this question asked to? A man who has knowledge of Christ and experience of his gracious dealings with him, forming a gracious and blessed relationship with himself and Peter. It is not Peter in the records of the gospel that takes the initiative to form the relationship between Christ and himself. You go through the records, you're familiar, even the younger members of the congregation know with some familiarity the way in which the Savior and Matthew's record and Mark's record. As he walked, we're told he saw these two brothers, Simon Peter and his brother, at their boats, washing their nets and so on, because they were fishermen. And the Savior, we are told, called them to leave their nets and to come and follow him. And both Matthew and Mark tell us that's exactly what they did. But when we go to the gospel record of Luke, he fills us in with some further details that are most interesting. In the gospel according to Luke, in the 5th chapter, Luke tells us that Jesus, first of all, made use of Peter's fishing boat. In the 5th chapter, Jesus, in verse 2, saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And no doubt, Peter heard the sermon. Now, when he had left off speaking, he said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, watch the developing change that comes over Peter. Verse 5, Simon answering said unto him, Master, he has listened to him. He's been impressed by what he's heard. He's been affected by the teaching of the Savior. And he has now in his mind, in his thoughts, in his desires, as it were, some limited attachment to the Savior. He is becoming, as it were, a disciple, a student of the great master, the master that no doubt he could have joined with Nicodemus, saying that he sent from God. But something happens. Master, he says, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and then their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And so they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He's not master now, he's Lord. You go back to the time when Judas Iscariot was still in the company of the Savior, and the night in which he was betrayed, you find the 11 disciples, when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me tonight, they were asking, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Peter, you see it there in John 13, beckoned to the one who was leaning on Jesus' breast, namely John. And you can picture it. He's, when he hears this, one of you is going to betray me. And he makes some kind of a motion to John. Ask the Savior who it is that's going to betray him. Who among us is going to do it? And Jesus obviously whispered into the ear of John, it's the one whom I will give the sop to. Jesus, even though he knew of the awful wickedness that was operating in the heart of Judas Iscariot, give him the sop of a friend. And he said to John, it's the one whom I give the sop to. No doubt he was looking to see who is he going to give the sop to. But the point is, Judas Iscariot spoke differently to the rest. Is it I, Master? The other disciples called him Lord. Judas only knew him as Master. And here is Simon Peter. Master, I'm prepared to put down the nets at thy command. I have regard for thee. I have respect for thee. I esteem thee highly. I have received thy words. I'm laying to heart what I've listened to. But now, when he sees the great draught of fishes and he's witness to the mighty divine miracle, the supernatural power that produces this miracle, he knows he's more than master. What does he say? He fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Now he has learned something in the presence of the one that he previously considered master. Now he's his Lord, and in his presence, he feels his own sinfulness. He's never felt like this before. Now he feels unclean. He feels vile in the presence of God. He knows this miracle that I've witnessed is evidence of divine power. This is no ordinary rabbi or master or teacher. This is God, a very God. He will answer it more definitely and more clearly eventually whenever Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do men say that I am? Who do they?" You hear them talking. They think me strange, peculiar. Who do they really think I am? Well, some think you're Jeremiah. Some think you're Elijah. They have different opinions. And then Jesus asks, "Who do you think I am?" What did Simon Peter say? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. Thou art the one that was to come. Thou art the one that the prophets were telling us about for generations. And here is Peter in the presence of the Savior. That's who it is. God manifest in the flesh. He finds himself confronted with the majesty of God the Son. The glory of God is seen in this person. And he becomes aware of his sinfulness. He is brought to discover himself. When he discovered the Savior, he discovered himself. And that's how it is in the experience of those who would endeavor to answer the question that was put to Simon Peter. "Lovest thou me?" Then they go back, they begin to think, "Why should I love him? What should be a reason why I would love him? I love him because I know him. I love him because I have that persuasion as to who he really is. And I have discovered him, and in discovering him, I found myself. And I've discovered I'm full of sin. Sinful. I can't find any righteousness in myself. I'm just full of sin. Now then, look at what this understanding, the effect that it has upon Simon Peter. He cannot believe that he's at all fit to remain in the presence of such a one. What does he say? "Depart from me. Depart. Oh, depart. I am so vile. I am so filthy. I am so full of sin. I am like a leper. I'm unclean. Take nothing to do with me. Do not defile thyself by ever coming near to such a wretch." How did Jesus respond? Peter was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of the fishes and so on. But what did Jesus say? Did he depart? No. He remained. And he called Peter, "Follow me." What an amazing thing. "Follow me. But I am a sinful man. Follow me. But I'm full of sin. How can I follow? Why would I follow? Why would Christ, the eternal Son of God, want the like of me to follow him?" But that's, you see, the glorious Redeemer, this man receiveth sinners. He receives them. But it is important that we discover we are sinners, because it's sinners that he receives. And we're not going to be received until we discover we are sinners. And this is part of the road through which, or along which, Simon Peter will travel. This is the beginning of a blessed relationship. Jesus comes, takes possession of Peter's boat. Then he addresses Peter and gives him instruction. And we see then how Peter responds. Something's going on. Something's happening. His mind is thinking. Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Who is this peculiar person? And then it's revealed to him. Because Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it, taught you this, Peter. This has been revealed from my Father in heaven. Oh, how wonderful it is when the eyes of the understanding are opened, as the brethren were talking about today. How quickly it happens. Lord, Lord of glory, I feel my wretchedness and vileness in thy presence. Come, man so full of sin. Come, poor soul, so sinful. So utterly unworthy, so undeserving, come and follow me. And if you begin to follow the Savior, it will be as a sinner. It's sinners who feel their need of Christ and who feel his drawing, the effectual call that we heard about today earlier. Peter, what does he do? Does he question the Savior and say, well, hold on a minute. What's my future? Jesus appears and calls him, and he has just commenced his ministry. Did Peter begin to question, well, now, how popular are you? Because if I'm to leave my livelihood behind, well, I would like some sense of security for the future. What's the strength of your following, Jesus? Do you have many disciples? Follow me. Poor man, full of sin, you follow me. And such is the power and the authority of Christ's call to him, that that's what he does. This is the beginning of a most blessed relationship that will lead us to the very point where this question is put to Simon Peter. Lovest thou me, Peter? Yea, Lord, I love thee. Thou knowest I love thee. But let's look at some of the events. From that moment when poor Peter, feeling himself nothing but a sinful man, begins to follow the Savior, begins to learn more of him, develops in his knowledge and in his understanding of him. Now, there are many events that we could consider, but if you go back with me to the 13th chapter of John's Gospel, remember what we said earlier, if Jesus were to say, well, Peter, you remember this event. You remember that occasion. Did you love me then? Peter would say, well, I believe I did. And look here what we have in John 13. Jesus, we are told, supper being ended, verse 2. The devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Jesus, knowing who he was. Jesus, knowing perfectly where he was in the whole scheme of redemption, where he was in his journey of humiliation, where the Father had him in the great scheme, he says, all things are given into my hands. What a power. Everything. My hands, they control the universe. My hands control the events and the hearts of men. Everything's committed into my hands. What would he do with those hands? What do we see him doing? He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Why is he doing this? That was the work of a slave. That was the responsibility of the slave in the household. When the guests arrived, the slave was called. He had no standing. He had no place in the family, in the household. He was just a slave. He was owned and could be disposed of at any moment. Just a slave. Jesus, knowing, all things are committed into my hands, he took a towel. And he took up a basin of water, and he took to himself the activity of a slave before his disciples. Now look at the reaction. He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. What a scene. God from all eternity. God, a very God, revealing in his eternal Son his heart for lost men, willing to be a servant, willing to come right down to the basest, as it were, the basest mundane activity in the household. This is what Jesus does. He's washing the disciples' feet. Verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter, if Jesus asked the question now, lovest thou me, Peter? I certainly do. And I will not have my Lord so humiliated. I love him too much. He is not going to be the slave that will wash my filthy feet. I will never allow it. I think too highly of him. My heart is so full of love for him. I could never allow it. Peter, lovest thou me? Yes, Lord, I do. And I love you too much to ever allow you to stoop so low for me. What did Jesus say? Simon Peter, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. You don't understand, Peter, what I'm doing. But you'll know after. What is Peter's response? Oh, well, maybe then that's so. No. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never. Never. I will never allow my Lord to go so low. I am never going to allow him to be the slave for me. I love him too much. I think too highly of him. I esteem him so much, I will never allow it. What does Jesus say? Jesus answered him, Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If I don't wash you, Peter, we part. What a shock to Peter. He couldn't bear that. He couldn't think of it. Separated from his Lord. If he doesn't wash my feet, he leaves me. I have no part in him. I can't have that. I must have him. And what does he say? Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I could never bear it. My heart would break. I would be utterly in despair. To have no part in thee, I must have thee. Whatever else, I must have Christ. You can see where his heart is. The question was put to Peter that night. Lovest thou me? Peter would say, Lord, thou knowest. I love thee, and I object to any humiliating of my Lord. I love thee too much. Then again, you see, in this very same chapter, further evidence of the strong attachment that Simon Peter has to his Lord. In the latter part of the chapter, we read Peter's inquiry with the others of the disciples. Simon Peter, Jesus, you see, has been step by step, stage by stage, preparing his disciples for the fact that he is going to die. He's been warning them and gradually introducing them to this solemn arrangement that God has made with him in the covenant, that he's to die and that he will be buried and he'll rise again the third day. Now, they couldn't understand. They couldn't follow it. Even Peter, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Messiah, the promised one. I receive thee, I embrace thee, I love thee. But dying, oh, I could never have that. And Peter so loved the Savior. That whenever he began to talk about these things, Peter's heart is moved and stirred. And what does he say? Lord, be it far from thee. You can't die. I would never, never have you suffer for the likes of me or anyone else. No, be it far from thee. What does Peter say? What does the Savior say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Ah, we might think, poor Peter, He's a man that's not consistent. He's just previously declared, "Thou art the Christ." But the Christ that I will have is not a Christ who's going to die. The Messiah that I'm looking for, that I'm believing in, is not a Messiah that is going to die. I'm looking to a living Messiah. You see, Peter didn't want the Savior to die because there was a real strong attachment. And surely if he dies, then the relationship is ended. Peter is left. What does he have? He has said he wants part in Christ. He wants him as his portion. Wash me, complete me. Whatever it takes, do it, because I want Christ more than anything. Now, be it far from thee, Lord. I want our relationship to continue. And even there, in that foolish statement of Peter's, you can see what's coming out of his heart. He's attached to Christ. He doesn't want to lose him. He doesn't want to be separated from him. So much so that here in the 13th chapter, when Jesus is telling his disciples they are to love one another and so on, in verse 36, Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" He wanted some explanation. Where are you really going? What are you really intending to do? Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter, he can't understand this. Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee?" What did Jesus say about his followers? "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Peter has been listening to the voice of the shepherd, and he has left his nets. He has left behind his old lifestyle. In fact, he has left everything. He says to the Savior, "We have left all and followed thee." We have left everything. As far as Peter's concerned, the Savior is of greater value to him than anything else. He can lose everything, but he cannot lose Christ. And when the multitudes are departing from the Savior, they're not following him anymore, and he turns to his few disciples, "Will ye also go away?" These are testing times. The great masses are turning away from me. They were content to be fed by me, to witness my miracles, providing for them. Now they don't want me. They're turning away. "Will ye also go away?" What does Peter say as the spokesman? "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Where are we going to go? "Thou hast the words of eternal life." We are dependent on thee for that life. If we go from thee, we perish. We cannot go. We are compelled to hold on to thee. We cannot be parted from thee. Where do we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from out of the mouth of the Lord. Here's Peter. We're going nowhere. We're staying with the Savior. Though we may just be a tiny minority, and though he may be an unpopular Savior, we're staying with him. We've nowhere else to go. Our hearts won't allow us to go anywhere else. Our affections hold us fast here with Christ. And here's Peter now. And he's followed Christ thus far. He's followed him even when he's been rebuked. The heart is attached to Christ, and he cannot be parted. What does he say to the Savior? Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I want to follow thee. No interest in anything else. But Peter, you don't understand. You can't follow me. When it comes to this part of the journey, you can't. The waters I am going to enter in, Peter, are too deep for your feet. The fire that I am going to feel coming into my soul, Peter, it would consume you. You cannot come, Peter. I am going down into depths that no feet that are mortal could ever stand in. The bulls of Bashan are going to gather Peter. And the very wrath of God, the fountains of his justified wrath, are going to be opened up. And Peter, I am going to stand alone where no one else will ever stand. You cannot follow me, Peter. Does Peter say, well, I understand? No. Peter says, why cannot I follow thee now? I've followed thee up till now. Why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. We are not going to be separated. My soul is bound with thine. And I'm ready no matter what the cost. If you're going to die, I'm dying alongside of you. If you perish, I will perish with you. Whether it be in life or death, we remain together. Such is the heart attachment to the Savior on the part of Peter. You would be saying, and I would be saying, well, I wish and I long that I felt that way. Oh, if I had half that love, for I know only too well that my following hasn't been very consistent at times. When it's become difficult, I've been slow to follow. Oh, that I had the courage and the devotion and the zeal and the heart that Peter had. And you might be saying, oh God, give me the heart of Peter any day. Here he is. Jesus answered, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Peter, will you really do it? I know you intend to do it. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And we heard what happened last night. Peter, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me now? in the Garden of Gethsemane? Who drew the sword? Who jumps to the defense of his Lord? It's Simon Peter. If they're going to take my Lord, they take me with them. And if they are going to mishandle him, I will defend him. And he really did. He smote off the ear of the high priest's servant. He's absolutely devoted. You are not taking my Savior from me. Isn't that something? We'd be thinking, I wish I had half that zeal and half that commitment. Here they come to arrest him, to take away his Savior, and he draws his sword. Not over my dead body are you going to take my Lord. But he is arrested, and he's taken away. What does he say? And Peter must have observed it and wondered, what is going on? He asked them twice, whom do you seek? I am he. If it is me you have come to arrest, take me and let these go. Peter, what's gone through his mind? What is going on? This is my Messiah. This is the one I've followed. This is the one that my heart has just been bound with. And what has he done? He's just resigned himself into their very hands. And we do not know all that was going through the mind of Peter. But we heard last night about his following afar off. And what became of him? Peter and the temptation. What's happening now, Peter? Where's the heart of Peter now? Where's the love, Peter? Where's the following after me? Now we come to this question that the Savior intended to put to Peter after his resurrection. And that morning, that glorious morning when the tomb was emptied and vacated, the glorious Lord into whose hands the Father has committed everything puts his sentinels at the door of the tomb, the sepulchre, with a message. A message that is to be sent via the woman to the disciples and tell Peter. I go before them into Galilee, and they're to meet me there. Tell Peter. Tell Peter. I want to see him in Galilee. Do you expect Peter to be there? That night when he goes out into the darkness and the awful silence of that night, the Savior has looked upon him. Savior, in the midst of his tormentors, being abused, accused falsely, in the midst of it all, he turns when the cock crows the second time, because he had told Peter, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. The Savior knew when that cock was going to crow. And you would think, what a burden on the blessed Savior's spirit. All that is taking place, the blasphemies, the accusations, the brutality, the viciousness, the antagonism, the hatred, the whole atmosphere is just poisoned with hatred for the Savior. The cock crows, and the Savior turns and looks on Peter. Why? Because all the time, in the midst of it all, his mind and heart was set on Peter. And Peter knew this is surely part of the reason why he wept. Because he knew. He knew when he went out into that night, the heart of the one that I've disgraced. The heart of the one that prayed for me is following me out into this night. Oh, there he is in the midst of his enemies. How easily he could forget me. What do I mean in the midst of all that is falling on his ears? All the concentration of the forces of darkness in upon him. And all the time he was thinking about me. And when the cock crowed, he looked. And I've left, going out to weep with a broken heart, knowing his heart is following me out into the night. And his heart is following me in my broken state. Why? Because he is God. And what does he say? To this man will I look, though I am the high and lofty one. I dwell with him that is of a broken and a contrite heart. And my heart goes with poor Simon Peter. What a night that was. And what does Peter do when he hears the news the tomb is empty? He goes immediately running to see the evidence. And now we come to the Savior meeting after the resurrection with the disciples. He gathers them around him, or he meets with them. And what does he say to them? Peace. My peace I give unto you. How they needed that. Because it wasn't just Simon Peter. It was the whole lot of them. They all forsook him and fled. And yet they'd all promised, no, no, we won't forsake thee. It wasn't just Peter. Peter may have been more boastful, but there they were. If you'd forsaken, you'd been one of those disciples, and you'd made that promise, and then you ran away and you hid. You abandoned the Savior. How would you feel in the first meeting? Would you be looking full of confidence, ready to greet the Savior? You'd be hanging your head in shame. There would be a heaving in the breast. How will I meet him? What will I say to him? How will I explain my cowardice? What will I say to excuse myself, my false promises? Their consciences wouldn't have been at peace. Their minds wouldn't have been at peace. They would have been looking pretty sheepishly. But what did Jesus say? Peace be to you. I haven't come here to accuse you. I haven't come here to condemn you. I've come to you as my friends. Peace be to you, including Peter. And then you have the Savior engaging Peter now with this question. I want to talk to you, Peter. Wonderful thing is that Jesus appears on the scene. They've been out fishing. They haven't caught anything. Peter says, I go a-fishing. It's just about as profitable as anything I could do at the present time. I'm all mixed up. I'm all confused. I don't know what direction I'm going in. I'm off to fish. The other disciples, they said, well, right, we're coming too. Until something happens. Something happens that tells us that Peter loves his Lord. We read that in the chapter 21 of John. Jesus appears and he asks, have you any meat? Children, have you any meat? No. He tells them what to do. And then you see this scene in the boat, verse 7 of John 21. The disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, do you know who that is? That's the Lord. That's the Lord, Peter. Peter. Is that the Lord? And what does he do? Immediately he gathers his fisher's cloak around him, his coat, and into the sea he goes. He doesn't want to wait. He doesn't want to tarry. If that's my Lord, I'm away. I don't care about boats or fish or anything else now. All that matters to me is my Lord. And what do we read? The other disciples came in a little ship. Peter can't wait. That's my Lord. I don't care about fish. My Lord. Oh, my Lord. I want him. Keep the fish. I want him. The one that I betrayed. The one who prayed for me. But it was in no fit state to pray for myself. I didn't know how to pray that night. I didn't know what to pray. I was down, down in the depths. My heart was broken. And he was praying for me when I didn't know how to pray for myself. Have you ever been there? That's what Peter discovered. And out of the boat he goes. The rest can come as they will. I'm going to Jesus. I want him more than anything in all the world. Then Jesus has a conversation. Lovest thou me, Peter? Peter, you've come back. The past is the past, Peter. Do you love me now? Do you love me now? Well, Lord, I am fond of thee, but I don't know how I could say I really love thee. That's a big thing to ask. That's a big thing to profess for someone like me. The Savior wants to hear it. Again, I ask you, Peter, lovest thou me? Lord, thou knowest, I am fond of thee. I am very deeply attached to thee. But Lord, how can you expect me to say that I love thee? You know what's gone on. You know my past. You know my weaknesses. You know my folly. You've heard my boasting. Oh, I used to say I love thee. I used to say that. How am I going to say it now? The third time, Peter. I'm going to ask you again, Peter. lovest thou me? What does Peter now say? Lord, thou knowest all things. I don't need to tell them. I don't need to recall them. I don't need to go over them. Because they're all known. You know them even better than me. Thou knowest all things. I betrayed thee. Thou knowest all things. I've been foolish. Thou knowest all things. I've been inconsistent. And thou knowest my heart has been broken. Thou knowest. And thou knowest, in spite of everything, I love thee. And the Savior is now content. Why was it necessary for Peter to actually make this profession and confession? If the Savior knew, Peter says, look, Lord, thou knowest all things. You don't have to ask me. You know my heart. You know what's in my heart. You know I do love you. But what's the Savior asking for? I want to hear you say it, Peter. I want you to profess it publicly before these disciples. Yes, I know you love me. But I want you to make it known. I want you to say, to make a public profession, you love me. And Peter knows, I cannot do other. I truly love thee for what you have done for me. What did the psalmist say? Come here, I'll tell what he did for my soul. Oh, Peter. Peter loves Christ because of what he has done for him. And you're here tonight, maybe, and there's many, many questions in your own mind. But Peter, you see, has been asked this question that we can put another way around. Because in that question, what does Jesus ask? Lovest thou me, Peter? Peter, is there anyone or anything else that can take my place in your affections? Put it that way. Maybe tonight you're here and you're wondering, oh, if I could only say I love the Savior. I've been struggling with this question and this issue. There's times I think I do. There's other times when I'm sure I don't. And I don't know where I am. Well then, let's ask the question this way. Is there anyone else that you know of, or anything else, that can take his place in your affections? And you're answering, do you know, there isn't. There isn't. Oh, there are many things that I love and persons that I love my children. I love my parents. I love my wife. I love my husband. I love my friends. I love the church. I love the Lord's people. But oh my, there's no substitute for Christ. That I'm sure of. And if you're admitting that, what are you saying? Thou knowest all things that I love thee. But you know what the Savior wants you to do? Publicly acknowledge it for his glory. A poor man beginning as a sinner, sinful man, called by Christ, And now he cannot give Christ up. Now he's saying, I have nothing anymore but Christ himself. That's what grace does. Lovest thou me? Are you going to, from the heart, confess it? Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest tonight, whatever my past, thou knowest tonight here, I love thee. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray.